With our young people being in here today, we don't do Bible hour the first Sunday of the month. With our children being in here, I just want to make a quick comment that I want to say what a lot of you are thinking, and that is, it is beautiful to see children in the house of God. It is beautiful. It is encouraging to hear them, to see them. Those of you who will be wrangling them today, bless you. But you need to know we love you. I mean, we love our children. And we will hear them. And it's a beautiful sound. This picture was taken a while back. It was taken back when I had hair. Gives you a little indication of how long ago it was. I was doing an outdoor wedding down at Roberts Cave State Park. I didn't know. Someone that knew our family took the picture. I didn't know they... Thank you, Tom. I didn't realize that they snapped this picture. Of course, Elizabeth doesn't remember this, but I remember it. I remember as a dad holding my child's hand. Abby, I hold her hand. I make her hold my hand, rather, when we cross the street, going into Walmart if we're walking where cars drive. She might be 10. I still have her hold my hand, partly because I'm an overprotective parent, and partly because it won't be long and I won't be able to hold her hand anymore. She won't let me. I won't need to. There's a special joy as a parent holding your child's hand and guiding them. We are starting a series today, Walking with the Father. Three-part series. We're going to study walking with the Father. Turn to Genesis 3, verse 8. The first part of this series will be about surrender. And Genesis 3, 8 gives us a snapshot into the Garden of Eden and what it was like with God and Adam and Eve. And it talks about this separation, the beginning of the separation because of the sin of Adam and Eve. But verse 8 says, they, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. It gives us a little snapshot. What do you think it was really like in the garden? When God and mankind, when God and Adam and Eve had fellowship like they did, there was no sin. You get the picture that they had times when God came in a special way and they fellowshiped together and He walked with them. And you need to know that that was God's desire from the beginning. Adam and Eve didn't make the garden, God did. Adam and Eve didn't set up that relationship. God did. God's desire has always been fellowship with His creation. Fellowship with mankind. And He walked with mankind. His desire has always been to walk with us. Leviticus 26:12, I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. That phrase is in the Bible a number of times. It's in Jeremiah 7:23. 11:4, Ezekiel 36:28, it's in the New Testament, Hebrews 8:10. The idea of God being our God, walking with us, He would be our God and we would be His people. Deuteronomy 23:14 says, because the Lord your God, and don't miss that, it could just be the Lord God Almighty, but it's the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you, to give up your enemies before you. That's God's desire to walk with us. It was His desire in the beginning, and when sin separated us, it's always been God's desire to have fellowship again. In fact, that's what Jesus on the cross is all about, isn't it? That reuniting of fellowship with us and God. God is a personal God who wants to walk with you. He's not an impersonal, distant God who just tells you what to do. He's a personal God who wants to walk with you. 1 John 1, verse 5 answers a question for us, and the question is, does God walk with everyone? I'm pretty sure everyone who believes in God, who has a time of trial, cries out to God. They want that fellowship with God. Does God walk with everyone? 1 John 1, verse 5 says, "This is the message we've heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." So we start out by talking about who God is. God is holy. God is light. How much darkness is in God? None. And we will learn that God will not compromise. God will not be like us in order to have fellowship with us. God will not walk with us on our terms. He will walk with us on His terms. Verse 6, "If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie." God doesn't do that. We would like that. I would like to live my life, which is a lot of holy and a fair amount of sin, and have God walk with me. God says, I won't do that. I have to walk in the light. If I want to walk with God, I walk where God is. It's a reminder that I can't live in sin and have fellowship with God. I can't have foul language a part of my daily routine and not care and not try to change and walk with God, right? I can't live in sin and walk with God. I can't have sexual immorality, whether it be lust, whether it be... Remember, sexual intimacy is a gift God gave to marriage. It's a gift God gave to marriage. I can't take that outside of marriage continually without repentance and without effort to do things God's way. I can't walk in sin. Does that make sense? I'm not saying we won't stumble. I'm saying we can't willfully walk in sin and walk with God. I can't do that with gossip. I can't have sin flourishing in my life in which I walk. I can't say, God, I turn from all sin, except I got a couple favorites. I mean, I have some favorites, and I will do those regularly, willfully, ongoingly. I can't do that. And I remind you of that, because we live in a world that says, it's okay now. It used to not be okay. Things have changed. Get with the times. It's okay now. I have to walk where God is. There are benefits to walking in the light. We see those at the end of this. We see that we have fellowship with God. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And we also have forgiveness through Jesus. Walking with God requires walking in the light. Another way of seeing that is in Galatians 5:16. Scripture says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. So same thing, walking with God, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Why will we not gratify the desires of the flesh? Turn to Romans 6, verse 2. Romans 6, verse 2. Why will we not, if I'm wanting to walk with God, why will I not also gratify my sinful desires? Willfully, ongoingly. And the answer is, Romans 6, 2 says, how can we who died to sin live still live in it? How can we who died to sin still live in it? When did we die to sin? Verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried. When you were baptized, and if you have not been baptized, and you're of the age to understand sin, that needs to be at the top of your to-do list. Amen? If you haven't been baptized into Christ, had your sins washed away, died to yourself, having given your life to Christ, if you haven't done that, your to-do list just changed. The top of it is get my life right with Christ. If you have done that, at that conversion, which baptism is the pinnacle of it, we had a funeral. You had a funeral. When you are baptized, do you remember that feeling? It's a little bit of a feeling of helplessness because you didn't baptize yourself. You were baptized. Someone else had control of you, taking you under the water as a symbolic act. But in that moment, it's a unique experience of surrender, isn't it? Surrender. That's when we died. Walking with God requires surrender. We don't get to lead when we walk with God, do we? We don't get to lead when I can walk with God and He can lead, or I can lead and I'm not walking with God. We surrender. Surrender is a battle term. It implies giving up all rights to the conqueror. It literally means to cease resistance to an enemy or an opponent. When I was in college, one of my pastimes was playing a game with my friends in the dorms, a game called Risk. Anyone ever played the board game Risk? It's a good game. And we had some heated battles, okay? Game of Risk. So it's a kind of a game of war, right? You roll the dice and you have your armies and you control the world and you conquer your enemy. I would kind of battle until when hope is gone. I still have armies, but when hope is gone, Stephanie and I have started playing that again on our phones. And we played the other night, our first one here as of late, and she won. And as it got toward the end, as she was conquering all of my armies, there comes a point that I realize it's over. And I do not play to the very end, by the way. I topple the old king, you know. I surrender. I don't go down to the very end, I surrender. Surrender is, in a way, biblically, it's a very appropriate term. In a way, it's not. And the way that it is not fitting is God doesn't conquer us. But the way it is fitting is in the sense of giving up resistance. As Christians, we surrender to God. We no longer resist. Isaiah 6:5 is a moment in Scripture where Isaiah describes his experience having seen heaven. In some way, he was able to see the throne and see what was happening there. And he saw these beings flying around and praising God. And experiencing that, here's Isaiah's response. His first three words out of his mouth are this: woe is me. Surrender. He says, for I am lost. The word lost here means destroyed. It's the same word as in Hosea 4 verse 6. Have you heard this verse which says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge? Same word, destroyed, lost. Isaiah says, I'm done. I'm finished. Surrender. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Why? Not because God conquered us, but because we voluntarily surrendered. We surrendered. To do what I want to do and to surrender don't mix, do they? To do what I want to do and to surrender don't mix. So let's stop for a minute and think. How many daily thoughts do I have that involve the process of what do I want to do? What I want to do. Anybody ever have moments during the day where you pick this thing up? I don't know what you're doing on your phone right now, but on my phone, I've been preaching for 16 minutes. That's what I do on my phone when I'm up here, in case you want to know. But anyway, you have your phone. Anyone have time during the day when you pull this thing out? Got a little time to kill? What do I want to do? Do I want to check my email? No, I don't want to check my email. I might have something on there I don't want to read right now. What do I want to do? I'm going to look at Facebook. No, you know, I'm tired of Facebook. Everybody's just, I want to play a game. I'm going to play, what's my favorite game? What do I want to do? I'm not saying all of that is bad. I'm saying, how many daily thoughts do I have that start like, what would God have me do right now? Surrender. Look at this, 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were ransomed. It's important that we remember we were lost. Ransomed is to be bought back. We were ransomed. God bought us back. We were lost, but we were brought back. We went on a vacation a number of years ago, and it was when GPS was relatively new, and in our family, this is before smartphones, and in our family, we had this GPS device called TomTom. Anyone remember the TomTom? Garvin? Okay, so we had a TomTom, and I just thought this was the neatest thing. We're driving to Tennessee. We just punched in the old address to Stephanie's dad's place, where she had been there, but not in a while, and so we're following TomTom. I mean, I love it. This guy tells me how far we have to go and where to turn and all this business. We get into Chattanooga, and it's dark, and we've been driving for what feels like 20,000 hours. It's about probably 12. Anyway, three children, some of them young. TomTom. Well, he's taking us away. Stephanie says, I don't think this is it. I don't think this is the right way. And I said, it's okay. It's all right. We go a little further. She said, this is definitely not the right way, blah, blah, blah. I say, hey, Tom has it. TomTom. We're fine. Drive a little further. She makes a couple more comments. We get a little more stubborn. We're going to follow TomTom. I mean, we're 5 minutes away now. We're going to follow it out. Well, TomTom takes us to an abandoned parking lot where things were not good. Tom was wrong. In which case, I voluntarily-ish got out of the driver's seat, and another driver assumed that role. If I drive my life, where will I end up? If I lead, where will I end up? If I'm in the driver's seat, God's in the passenger seat, I might think that's a good idea, but where are we going to end up? We need God in the driver's seat. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who drive. It's no longer I who live. I'm not in charge anymore. If you're a person that likes to be in charge, you may have a little more work to do. But I would venture we all like to be in charge to some degree. I like to be in charge of my life, I'll tell you that much. Who's driving? We walk by faith, not by sight. I'll leave you with this thought. If you're a parent, or even if not, you may have experienced sometime when you were swimming and you had a young child that was also swimming that was a little afraid of water, not able to swim. I remember swimming with the girls when they were young, and Abby being the youngest and her not able to swim and get in the water, and I'm holding on to her, and maybe I'm trying to do a little, I'm doing things that's more in my comfort zone than hers. And that child that's uncomfortable, they are grasping and clawing, and they're like a little spider monkey around your neck. You know that? And I'm trying to tell her, relax. Relax. I have you. God is trying to tell us, relax. Let me drive. Surrender. I have you. And so walking with God, walking with the Father, we start that by doing something that's not easy and it's not natural, and that is surrender. Surrender. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. You may be here this morning. Maybe you didn't plan on it today. Maybe you didn't think about it. But if you've not started your journey with God, you're not in fellowship with God. You can't walk with God until you surrender in repentance, confession, baptism, having your sins washed away. And if that's you, we would love to help you with that today. You can do it and bless the church publicly, or in a big way, I say, you can catch me here in a minute, and we can do it before we leave the building in more of a intimate setting. But put that at the top of the list. You may be here this morning to have something on your heart you'd like us to pray about. If there's a need you have, please let us know. Make it known while we stand and sing.
In me a servant, Lord, may